Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Marco Marquez on this Monday, September 26, 2022. Let's talk to Bill Moss right now. We'll remind you that Bill is going to be hosting the KC Legends Show tonight out at Hollywood Casino at the Barstool Sportsbook. Bill, that looks like a fun place to be on a Monday night.
Steven, I got to be honest with you. After this weekend, a sportsbook is the last place I should be.
Well, you got to bounce back. You got to bounce back, Bill.
Get back in the saddle.
That's exactly right. We call you Bounce Back Bill, all right?
All right, we'll give it a go, buddy.
You know, you got to. It's like the Chiefs. They had a rough weekend. They got to bounce back next week against Tampa.
Tell me, is it really true that Amendola, the kicker, beat out Chase McLaughlin, who was the Colts kicker?
Did he? Good God!
Oh, Buck kicker got hurt, they brought in six kickers to try him out, and one of those kickers was the Colts Chase McLaughlin, who got beat out by Amendola. It was a perfect 2-for-2 in field goals and 2-for-2 in extra points.
That was
crazy, right?
Boy, if I couldn't figure out a way to get more pissed off about yesterday's game, thanks, Bill. Yeah. That'll leave a mark. So, okay, let's start with the thing that irritated me the most. And there's quite a few things that had to happen for the Chiefs to lose that game. Well, Missouri too. Trust me, it was football has kicked me in the balls this weekend. But here's
only
the deal. Explain this to me. Like what? Chris Jones, should he have been talking trash and just get off the field? Sure. But what are we doing here? Throwing a flag for mean words in a situation where it helps decide the game. This is football. No one needs to tell you. Football is a violent game. You go from one player trying to rip each other's heads off, and I thought maybe he was going to get flagged for, late hit or whatever that he did, previously just when they actually made the stop. But, I mean, what could he say that could warrant that flag that helps decide that football game?
Yeah, watching that, if I was going to say something, my whole body language would say it. You would know I'm in a fit of rage or really upset, or he just looked like it was just passive conversation. Whether it was a flippant remark or swear word, I don't know. However, the flag, to me, was excessive.
Right. I mean, it's and especially, I know that you're not supposed to consider what the situation is, but damn it, can we use some common sense here? And I know Chris Jones said he needs to get off the field. The NFL's changing. But, I mean... That they got the stop that helped decide the game. I can't, Nate. You can follow up, comment on this. I don't know.
Yeah,
watching the games too. I used to know all the officials, by name, and it seems like there's a whole new slew of new officials that are out there now, and so maybe it's something league wide they're trying to keep control of.
Well, they've been calling some weird stuff like this for a couple years now, and Mike Tomlin came out, and I was really surprised to hear him say it because he seems like such an old-school guy, but he said that they're on the competition committee. They're trying to crack down on these things. It seems to me like they ought to have bigger problems to worry about than that. But,
right.
but it is what it is. All right, let's get to some of the other mistakes that happened in the game, Bill. And look, it's we have such high expectations of this offense, and then the way they open up the season against the Cardinals, I think, you know, we thought, well, maybe they're not even going to have growing pains with all these new receivers and everything. Did we see some of those growing pains yesterday, or did you see some bigger signs for concern with the offense overall?
So typically, week three of the NFL is always like an upset weekend, going back historically. I just been following it a long time, and just week three, that's just how it goes. Week one, it's up in the air. Week two, you kind of got some tendencies on a team. And then week three, those tendencies always get changed up. And I think we saw that league-wide this weekend. But, you know, that being said, are there chief concerns, you know? And I think that you can look at it offensively and say, yes. I thought at times what we saw in week one and week two with Patrick taking the underneath things, the things that were there, the things that the defense would give them, It didn't seem like that was the case yesterday. It seemed like there was an effort to look downfield, to force the ball downfield a little bit more yesterday. And I don't know whether that was, you know, knowing the defensive coordinator and understanding what he has done or tried to do over the years with the Raiders. But it was a little bit different yesterday, I thought.
Did the animated discussion or argument that Mahomes was having with Bieniemy move the needle at all for you, or is it just people overreacting to that?
Well, you know, it is what it is. I mean, what you see is real. I mean, last year was a lingering two, and they just have a personality conflict, and Patrick doesn't like the way, you know, Eric tries to get his point across, and it's been that way. And last year you saw – you used to see Andy and Nagy on the sidelines with Patrick. Last year, nobody sat next to him on the sidelines. Eric Bieniemy wouldn't be there. Now Nagy is back over there. Nagy's the voice of reason and calm for Patrick. And whoever called that play, he obviously didn't like it. But there are some times you just need to end the half, right? And things weren't going real well in the first half. And sometimes it's good to just, hey, let's run this out or take a knee and let's just take it to the locker room. Even though the guy is capable of making big things happen, you know, but sometimes it's just, hey, let's get inside and regroup here a little bit and make some changes and corrections and get on with the second half.
Are you concerned about the offensive line, specifically the play at tackle?
Yeah, I think if you watch the game, you have to be. I mean, the right end for them was, he's a journeyman player. He's been around, he's been all over the place. He's been all over the league. And he looked like one of the all-time greats yesterday. So I think there's some concern. I think there's some concern inside, too. It doesn't seem to be clicking as it was last year.
Why? Why do you think that is?
Tons of reasons, you know. I think there's been an effort for defensive linemen around the league. People are trying to grab them at a, you know, fast pace, so to say. If you can play, they're going to find you a defensive end. And the urgency for an edge rusher is real big in this league, and I think the defensive tackles are just as a group across the league. I mean, there are some very big, strong, fast men playing that position nowadays, and it's impressive. And you know, you have to find a way each week to be able to step up to the challenges. And they're just off. It just seems like a click. The running game isn't where I thought it would be. I think everybody thought that this running game for the Chiefs would be picked up a notch this year because of that offensive line and how they finished the season last year, that they could rely more on them. But we really haven't seen that yet.
Would you be interested in Ronald Jones getting a look?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I said if we're going back to training camp, I don't think there is one set running back that's your guy. You know, there's no – bell cow. There's no leader of the bunch. And so if you don't have one leader of the bunch, I think you've got to see what all of them can do. Give them a shot, right?
You know, I feel like we talk about this more with other positions, but when we're talking about, and you said, you know, the interior offensive line's been off a little bit. When you have a couple of rookies like Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith that were so good last year, and we'll hear this about quarterback, we'll hear this about different positions. Well, the league gets some film on you, and they start to understand your tendencies, and they'll make adjustments to the way you play, and so now you have to make adjustments. Can that be said? Is that true for interior offensive linemen as well?
Sure, absolutely, yeah. You know, you just think about quarterbacks and when you haven't seen them before. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a perfect case. He took the league by storm, and it took a whole year for defensive to figure him out and then take that away from him the next year. So, yeah, that happens with players for sure. And is that the case with Creed and Trey Smith? I don't know. I don't know that yet. I mean, I think time will tell. But, you know, each week and each season and each team changes drastically. It's not a culmination of what happened last year, and then you expect them to take a step further. Every year is like a whole different team and how they come together and the personality they take on and how they gel, and that goes with the coaching staff as well. So I think that there are teams that are trying to find their identity, and I'm not sure that Kansas City's offense has – found themselves yet. I think they're still testing the waters on what they can do and how to go about that. On the other side of the ball, the defense, I think sky's the limit for these guys. I think that the addition of Dunlap was a huge one. I mean, the guy, every time he's in there, something happens. And we're out 2-3 starters on the defense and still playing good football. So there's a lot of depth over there, and they're going to continue to get better.
Now that Nick Bolton was great yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. I mean, I thought overall, I mean, you give up only 17 points, you're a pretty good defense, right? You should win those games.
So to go back to some of those issues on offense, you know, they wanted to run the ball. We've talked about the offensive line being a little bit of a struggle. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had an interesting stat line yesterday. 7 carries for 0 yards. Yeah. He did have a rushing touchdown somehow. But he did have some good plays in the receiving game. You know, he actually, they're starting to use him this year as a passing target, and he was a good weapon there yesterday. Are you seeing some yards left on the field by him when he gets handoffs? Is that more of a function of the offensive line, or do they need more production from their actual running backs when they hand it off?
I think both. I think it's a little bit of both, Nate. I really do. I think, you know, that the line is almost there. You can see there's some times they're just, you know, an inch more here, and they could have had the seam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're just kind of feeling their way through things. And I think for the backs, too, I think they can help themselves by setting up defenders. And I don't think Clyde does that. I mean, you've got to be able to set up your defender, look like you're going one place, take him to that one place, but know where you're actually going to hit the hole at. So I think he can improve on that.
You buy into the idea that, you know, sometimes you put a player up against his old team, you can get the best out of him. Would you activate Rojo to see what he could do against his old squad in Tampa?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if he was that big of a deal to Tampa to be able to say that, you know, this is a revenge game for him. But it's nice if you can make something good happen, just a few touches, a big play, or score a touchdown, those things. One of those sure makes a guy feel good.
What did you think of the fake field goal attempt?
Yeah, I think it shows their confidence in their kicker. You know, I don't think they had it. And, you know, when you're desperate like that to do desperate things, it surely didn't catch anybody off guard with Tampa. Even if the throw was a little bit better, it was covered.
Right.
Yeah. So it was just a bad game. I mean, that's all it is, all the way around. It was just a bad game for the Chiefs. And I don't think there's any reason to search for a panic button to hit. I just think you go back, you regroup, you take it, and learn from it and move on. And they will. They're a good team.
So the Chiefs, they're 2-1, but the rest of the division does not look very good. The Raiders are 0-3. The Broncos struggled to 11-10 victory over the 49ers, and the Chargers got dominated 38-10 by the Jags at home. And it wasn't just Herbert being hurt. The Jags' offense couldn't be stopped. What's your reaction to what this division looks like now after 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's surprising would be the word. I think with everybody going into it, was thinking it was the best division in football, hands down. And, well, right now it's not. They're just okay, and the Chiefs are the top of it. I would eliminate the Chargers game down there. You just scratch that. I'd eliminate the Chiefs game yesterday. You just scratch that. I still think they're two very, very good football teams. Denver, I'm not sure they know what they have. And it's looking like a mistake right now all the way around with coach and quarterback. But, you know, it's early in the season yet still, too. It's a shame for Raiders. Raiders have a team. You know, they just haven't found a way to muster a win yet. But they've got a pretty good team, and they'll be there.
All right, so I mentioned you're going to be at Hollywood Casino tonight.
And, back in the saddle.
And that's right, back in the saddle. And Marco would like to know what you think of Cowboys-Giants. Giants are favored by a point, and the over-under is 39.5. Any interest in anything that this game has to offer?
You know, I'm riding the redheaded rifle.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm going to ride with him. I like the Cooper Rush thing, and I think it's going to evolve into a story. Dallas has a pretty good football team, you know. And I think when you look at their defense too, you got Micah Parsons, and he can take over a game and to put Daniel Jones away and just be over, right? I like Dallas in this.
And so for people that want to come out, tell us a little bit about what Monday night is like out there. I saw a good crowd out there enjoying some special guests and a chance to talk football, and more importantly, a chance to bet on football, Bill.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, the sports book in and of itself is awesome just to have in the Kansas City Metro, to be able to go there. And, I mean, you got big screens everywhere. You got baseball games coming up as we're pushing for the push for October here. And that'll be on tonight. Monday Night Football. The place is packed. There's kiosks, too, everywhere. Just go over and place a bet. So it's a good time. We always have special guests. One of the Chiefs ambassadors will be out there with us every night. We'll be there every Monday throughout the football season from 6 to 7 right up to kickoff. So come out and join us. Adult beverages and gambling, sports books, sit down and watch a game. It's pretty fun.
All right, Bill, if you see Marco then he looks disheveled, please send him home, all right?
All right, Marco, come out and join us, man.
Okay, we'll see.
Keep an eye on.
Bill, thanks for the time, man, and we encourage people to go out and hang out with you tonight at Hollywood Casino.
Take care, guys.
That's right. That's Bill Moss. And go out there. Why not? Go out there. That's what it is with football. People say, are you done with football? No, I'm not done with football.
No, you're
football
never done.
Football might be done with me.
No.
But I'm not done with football.
No, it's just warming up on you, buddy.
Oh, well, I think football had its way with me. I don't think it need to be warmed up. I think it's already set me on fire this weekend. But, go out to Hollywood Casino and the Barstool Sportsbook. You see Bill Moss. He'll have a Chiefs ambassador or two. And just get that bitter taste out of your mouth. And okay, what are you leaning? I know you're chomping at the bit here, Marco. Where are we leaning at? Cowboys, Giants. The number's 39.5.
Yeah.
Giants favored by a point. Do you like this at all? Do you stay away? Is there anything that particularly interests you about tonight's NFC East showdown?
So I originally had the Rams parlayed with the under for this game, but then yesterday was such a wallet drainer that I had to cash out of that one early. So we took that $9 and we threw it into a Hail Mary parlay for tonight's game.
Okay, what is it, please?
It's a seven-legger. We have the...
seven-legger? Hold on, let's hear. Okay, let's see. Tell you what the chances I think these are happening go.
So we need New York to win by 1.5. Spread.
I think that's reasonable, but I kind of like the Cowboys, but that's reasonable. That's fine.
You'll like these ones. Over 11.5 points for the Cowboys, over 14.5 points for the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay. CeeDee Lamb, 5 receptions.
Okay.
Saquon Barkley, 3 receptions.
Okay.
And Richie James Jr., because I don't know who catches balls at wide receiver for the Giants right now, because they're ignoring Tony. And Sterling Shepard is still hanging around.
Kenny Galladay continues to demand to be traded.
Yep. So we're relying on Richie James Jr. to get 20-plus receiving yards tonight.
All right. I mean, it all seems reasonable, but...
Well, it's a Hail Mary for a reason, but it's a reasonable one.
What are the odds you get on that?
+1150. I had to use a boost for that.
Big payday.
Boost it up. That's what I like to hear. All right. We'll be back after this on WHB. It took us 3.5 hours to mention it because, sadly, very few people care this morning after what happened with the Chiefs. But that was a hell of a home finale for the Royals. They were down by 9, and they ended up winning the game courtesy of an 11-run inning. And so, I don't say about that. They went 13-12. Over a Seattle team that needs to win. The 9-run comeback matched the Royals' largest comeback win in club history, previously done on June 15th in 1979 in Milwaukee. And so, in the span of 30 minutes, they flipped a 9-run deficit to a 2-run lead by scoring 11 runs against the Mariners in the bottom of the 6th. And Luis Castillo, their ace, who they traded for, was on the mound. And so, I do get very excited watching Michael Massey continue to perform well. And Nate Eaton has been so good since he finally started getting at-bats, shockingly, you know. But, credit to the Royals. 13-12, the Royals end up getting the win. And Vinny Pasquantino was 2-for-4. He's red hot again. Edward Olivares was 2-for-4. Massey was 2-for-5 with 4 ribbies. So good stuff. Bobby Witt Jr. went 2-for-5. And Nate Eaton steals another base. 11 steals now. He's a base-stealing machine.
Did you see the 2 ejections that happened before the game?
The standoff? Yeah.
Actually, I didn't know that was a thing.
Just leave these guys. They're competitive. They're competitive pricks. You know, leave everyone alone, umpires and officials.
I understand you need to get the game started on time, but can't you just say, hey, get in your dugout or I'm going to throw you out of the game? Like, they got no warning or nothing.
No.
And the best part was MLB, like, tweeted it out. We got an old-fashioned national anthem standoff, laughing, crying emoji, and then they got thrown out of the game for it.
Okay, let's hear some post game from the Chiefs. We need to hear Chris Jones again because most people are talking about Chris Jones and what he said that led to the 15-yard penalty that extended the Colts drive that ultimately led to a touchdown, the game winning touchdown. Here is Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones after the game.
Did he express some level of frustration at you for sort of maybe after the snap?
I was frustrated that I got called. I don't think I said anything horrendous, but, you know, the official called it, and I can't take it back. So I got to do a better job of playing the game and not saying anything, obviously.
Was Matt Ryan talking also?
I thought we was having a conversation with one another, but, you know, never know what the official seen. Could have heard something that was loud, so... You know, I just got to do a better job, man.
Chris,
playing football.
Did you surprised at the flag?
Yeah, I was clearly surprised. I didn't think he was going to call the flag when he was clearly, you know, having a conversation. But, you know.
Did you get an explanation from the ref? Did you ask for one?
There's no need for no explanation. You know, the flag was called. That's what he's called. So, you know, can't argue, can't take a flag back. So, next play.
Chris, how hard is it just to get past that it happened that way?
Oh, it sucks, man, because I blame myself for that. It was third down. We got off the field. Defense fought hard. And I kind of put us in a situation to get back on the field, and then we got scored on. And that sums up the game, so I take that one. It was my fault. It was definitely my fault. as a veteran player on this team, I got to be better. With those type of things, especially those situations. But it won't happen again for me. I take full blame. Apologize to my team, for putting us in that type of situation. It was third down, we was off the field. Would have gave our offense the ball back. So.
Did you actually speak to the team explicitly, or are you just sort of saying that in a general way?
Just
right
saying
now?
It in general,
Is this the type of thing you feel like you said, done before without being flagged in the past?
Listen, I've never been flagged for talking or having a conversation. But the game is evolving, man. So we got to learn to adjust as players, and we got to do a better job at it.
All right, that was Chris Jones after the game. Now let's listen to Patrick Mahomes after the loss to the Colts. Here is Mahomes' thoughts on the game overall.
Yeah, I mean, we just didn't play good enough, especially on the offensive side of the ball, starting with me. Obviously, we missed some kicks and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, we had multiple opportunities to score. So, I mean, we got to find ways to get the ball in the end zone, and that starts with me. You can't just get yards. We got to be able to get in the end zone when we're down there.
Here, I believe he was asked about the offensive line, and Mahomes said he's ready to go back and watch film of this game.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of money in that defensive front. They got a lot of great players. So, I mean, obviously, I got to go back and watch the film. But I thought they battled, and it's my job to get the ball out of my hand, and I felt like I was holding a little too long in certain situations, and I got to be better in that instance. And I think I got better as the game went on, but two slow starts in a row, you got to get better in the first half.
Here's Patrick Mahomes' thoughts on the exchanging of words with Eric Bieniemy before halftime, and here Mahomes gives his side of the story.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I wanted to go try to score. I mean, that's just who I am. We were in a tough situation. I believe it was like second or third and 20 or something like that, and probably the smart decision was to just take it. We got the ball at a half. Let's just go to halftime. But I'm always going to be wanting to score. And, I mean, I pretty much just said, let me have a chance at it. And then he was just like, let's get back in the locker room and we'll get something going for the next half. And I guess I don't know if that's an altercation, but, I mean, that was the end of the conversation. No, yeah, it was the run because – I tried to go deep the first two times, and obviously they were in a deep coverage, and I was just all I said was I'm not going to turn it over. I'll get it out, try to get to the sideline and get us a chance to kick a field goal. But, I mean, it's a tough situation. I mean, I'm on the field. I'm playing. I want to always try to go score. That's who I am. But that's their job, is to make sure they manage the game the right way. And, I mean, we had multiple chances to win after that. We just got to be better in the second half.
So is that pretty much what you chalk it up to? Any reaction to what he said about the exchanging of words with?
No, I really don't think it's a big deal. I think that people want to make a big deal out of Eric Bieniemy because of what we've talked about, the fact that he hasn't gotten that head coaching job. So everybody is looking for reasons why. I wouldn't be surprised at all if some of the players on the team think of EB as a emotional guy that doesn't really have as much power or control. You know, I'm sure they don't respect him on the same level that they respect Andy Reid.
Let me ask you this. Here, when you look at it, do you think Eric is the good guy or do you think he's the enemy?
Happy with yourself?
No. No, I'm not. Low hanging fruit. Stupid.
The enemy of Bieniemy is my enemy.
Right.
What? I think they're going to be fine. I think it's two. Yeah. It's competitive guys. You know, that you're going to have things like that happen. I'm not worried about this team really at all.
I'm not either. Just irritated.
Yeah, it's frustrated because the team's better than that. They should have won the game.
Like this will be a blip on the radar at the end of the season,
yeah.
I think. The Mizzou loss was devastating for the program and that particular head coach.
Right.
Devastating.
Right. Different.
Unless they upset Georgia this week.
Hey, turn things around, right, like that. Look what K-State did. You know, they had devastating loss. Turn around, beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, what'll happen. 28.5 is the spread, right, opening line. Will you take Missouri and just over four touchdowns?
This game at, is it at Georgia?
Nope.
No.
Is it Missouri? You want to go?
I would like to, but I'm busy.
Okay.
Remember the Ogletree game against Georgia?
What I'm asking you is, will you take four touchdowns in Missouri?
No. Although, if they can't cover after Kent State just covered,
you see that defense?
I'm staying away from that game.
35-7 is a cover.
I think Dave Matter tweeted out yesterday that Georgia's covered in the last five beatings against Missouri.
That's history.
Yeah. I don't.
What's that got to do with
here's the deal. I would be surprised if Missouri scored. I would say, hey, all right, you know, I would. So that's where I'm at.
Do you even attempt to kick field goals in that game if you get in Georgia territory?
Oh, why not? Sure, yeah. You know, they better kick field goals. They love it so much.
They love it so much.
You love kicking field goals, so you better kick field goals. Here is Patrick Mahomes when he was asked what needs to change on the offense.
Nothing.
We got to gel all together. I mean, it starts with me. I mean, there were certain throws I was putting on guys' back hips instead of in front of them. There were certain situations where we were just barely off. If it was a D lineman got around my feet and I missed Justin Watson, or if it was a throw at the end of the game where I could have maybe tried to put it in front of Juju and it gets tipped up for a pick. I mean, it's just little things like that. Whenever you're playing a tough game like that, you have to execute at a higher level, and we have to learn from it. I mean, our schedule gets no easier. We have a hard game, Sunday Night Football against Tampa next week with a great defense. So we have to get better quickly, and if we don't, we don't want these L's to start piling up. We want to make sure we get back on that winning train.
It was a very good play, but that could have been a touchdown to Justin Watson.
Mm.
And there was that big, you know, where Mahomes made a great pass where he couldn't move his feet and it hit Watson's hands. And then MVS he beat his man. He was open for a long touchdown. So it's not like the plays weren't there. But
yeah,
either
they were far
it was
off.
A good defensive play or the throw wasn't there. So, by the way, I want to do this because it's an artist that we both like. And way long, I think 1996, I can't remember. Long, one of the first concerts I went to with Susan was Beck at Memorial Hall.
I've seen him in concert twice. Once was opening up for U2, and I realized you don't want to see the band that's opening up. When they're the one you're most excited about, you don't want to go to that concert. Because everybody else is talking around you, and your wife is asking you questions about who's going to pick the kids up in 3 days.
And I don't want to go see U2. So.
And I wasn't as excited about U2.
I would resist that idea.
But then I saw him.
Yeah, I don't look forward to U2 either.
Then I saw Beck as the headliner at Starlight, and it was an incredible show. Love him.
So did you see the commercial last night?
I did. I saw it because you tweeted it.
Well, thank you.
I follow you on Twitter.
Here is Beck performing a cover of Old Man over the highlights of Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady playing on Sunday Night Football. I just tweeted that to you. I just sent your DMs. Did you like that commercial or not? Were you familiar with that song? You're too young to enjoy it, or
I don't listen to a lot of Beck.
Well, that's not his song.
Neil Young. You ever heard of Neil Young?
Right. Well, I was gonna ask.
No, I'm too young to know him.
But you weren't familiar with that song.
It's a classic song.
I hadn't even
seen the promo. Man. I didn't watch any football after 6 o'clock yesterday.
Well, play the promo I just sent you. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's they're insinuating that Mahomes is a young Brady. I like Beck, and he had long hair.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
Are you watching it now? Do you like this or not?
I like it. The fade in between shots. Oh, wow, look at that. Yeah, Lombardi. Yeah.
See,
Lombardi.
I like this. Some people didn't like it. I liked it very much. It took that. That's all it took to reel me back in. I was super pissed off.
Hey, you're a legend, man.
Yeah, let's keep in touch.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I don't like that. That's the Super Bowl.
The last thing I wanted to see.
Keep in touch.
I was pretty much done with football, mm-hmm. but for fantasy purposes, I was watching my trio of players last night do absolutely nothing.
Cortland Sutton, Russell Wilson. Who'd you have?
Javonte. No, he didn't. Melvin Gordon did.
Oh, ESPN told me wrong then.
Yeah. And they wouldn't give the ball to Jeff Wilson, and then George Kittle doesn't exist. So whatever. But I have a big lead because of Lamar Jackson. Let's go. I didn't want to watch any more football, and I wasn't excited about next week. But then I saw that commercial, reeled me right back out. Let's effing go Sunday Night Football.
I was supposed
to go to that game, and I'm not going to that game because I'm emceeing the ALS walk and the Alzheimer's walk, and that's fine. And now there's all kinds of weather down there, whatever else.
Yeah.
But now I want to see that game. Let's go.
Yeah. When I was watching it, and they had the line in there, 24, and there's so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, Mahomes isn't 24 anymore, is he? And I looked it up.
Yeah.
He's not.
No, he's not. He's 27.
Yep.
There's a line in there about me. Is
maybe there's a 24-year age difference?
49, and I'm running out of time and not feeling fine.
49, I still know how to whine.
Yeah.
At the refs every time anybody comes close to hitting me.
Well.
It's Tom Brady. That's my commentary about Tom Brady right there.
And no, I do not think there's a 24-year difference, Marco, because Tom Brady's not 51. He's close, but, you know. Was there anything? I don't want to play all these. I'm getting mad again. Was there anything else you think is particularly good out of Mahomes? Let's hear. Okay, play with this one before we break. Play number 8. I want to hear what Mahomes said to Sky Moore after Moore muffed the punt.
Yeah, I talked to him. I mean, we have full trust in Sky. He's talented. He made one mistake. I mean, at the end of the day, he made one mistake that ended up causing a touchdown, but I think he'll make a lot of plays in that Chiefs uniform that will be positive for us. And so we're going to keep going back to him and keep giving him chances to make plays.
And we'll be right back after this on WHB. You have my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart. Maybe in magazine, but you still be my star. Baby, cause in the dark, Marco is playing this song from Rihanna because she tweeted out just her arm holding a football, and I thought she was paying homage to Nate Pete, who tried to reach the football across the goal line, but he dropped it, and that wasn't what she was actually saying, that she's going to be performing at halftime of the Super Bowl. And it made me think of this tweet that was in one of the greatest threads of tweets I've ever seen. These people are children of Rihanna, born in the fires of chaos. You remember that tweet thread?
Mm-hmm.
That was the tweet thread of a gentleman that was giving advice to Steph Curry's father to stay married and talking about how bad it is to be single. You remember? did you ever read that one?
That's the greatest. Yeah. That might have been the greatest text thread of all time. Yeah. Tweet thread of all time. I want to go back and read that again.
They're pegging out here.
I had to look up some things because I didn't know what he meant.
But
what I was like,
one of them was, these people, the children of Rihanna, born in the fires of chaos. You don't want to be out here.
I missed that one.
Oh, it's one of the best ever.
Yeah.
It's just him giving advice.
You don't want to get back out there.
Yeah, you don't want to be out here, you know.
Yeah.
He's just trying to give advice. Stay married.
They're pegging out here.
Yeah. Right. That's exactly right.
I had to look that one up.
Born in the chaos. Blaming Rihanna?
Well. No. You a fan?
Absolutely.
A Riri?
Did you hear the rumors it was supposed to be Taylor Swift first? Thank God.
You take Riri over Tay Tay, won't you?
10 out of 10.
You don't like Tay Tay?
Who? T Swift?
I've seen Tay Tay in concert because of my daughters, and she puts on a fine show. I'm not.
Tay Tay and Riri.
Well, that'd be great.
I think it'd actually be phenomenal.
I have nothing against either. I would watch, readily watch either. But I do think I was like, okay, like Tay Tay, like I've seen enough. But Rihanna, okay, I'm here for it. You know, let's go. I want to hear some special guests. I want a big show. I want some special guests involved with her.
I'm sure ASAP Rocky will make an appearance.
Oh, you're sure, are you? I'm sure that I hate football right now, but I'll love it again.
I'll love it if these bets hit tonight.
I bet you will. That's a big parlay for you.
I mean, you only need seven of them to hit.
Jesus, my dad is on one right now. My dad's texting me. I need Mike DiPasquale's number.
I'm sending it to him right
now. I need Tim Grunhard's number. Dad?
Is he going to be at Tequila Harry's tomorrow?
Tequila Harry's tomorrow, yes. He will be there. 10% of all the sales tomorrow go to my mother's scholarship fund for the Hispanic Development Fund. I'll talk more about that tomorrow. Until then, be good to each other because football slapped me in the mouth all weekend. And I'll be good to you. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.